Tony Cook Ministries is committed to strengthening churches and leaders around the world. We trust you will enjoy the following message, and we pray that your relationship with God will be strengthened and enhanced through what you learn. Let's join the service where Tony is ministering.
We need to understand there is no problem too big for God, and there is no problem too complicated for God. And we can know that and understand that, but it's good to see some of the evidences of God's greatness and God's wisdom. And I want to look tonight at certain things that pertain to God's power and God's knowledge and great skill as it's revealed through the natural creation. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "The invisible things of Him." How many of you know there are certain things about God that are invisible? In other words, they're not able to be, and we're getting a little bit of, in this monitor, it's a little bit hot right here. There are things about God that are invisible. We're not able to discern them through natural means directly about Him. There are invisible things about God. But it says, "The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What this verse is telling us is that even though there are certain things about God which we can't see, we can tell that they're true by virtue of what He created. The creation, this world and this universe, we might say, represent the footprints of God. They represent the fingerprints of God. There are times when, let's say, for example, that a robbery has taken place and the police go to investigate. Well, typically when they go to investigate, the robber is not still there. Not if he's very smart. He usually gets away by then. But what the police look for is evidence of that robber, that burglar, having been there. And they will then, through the evidence that has been left behind, even though that we might say he is now invisible to them, the police cannot see the robber anymore, they hope to find out something about that robber through the evidence that he has left behind. They look for fingerprints. They look for footprints. They look for something that he may have dropped, hopefully a piece of identification, you know, something like that. But they look to find out something about him who is invisible through what he left behind. The Bible here is telling us that we can know things about God through his creation. We can know and learn things about the invisible God through the visible things that He has created. Over in Psalm chapter 8, let's look at a few verses here, and then we're going to look at some just factual information about God's creation. I do believe that God created things. I believe that He created things exactly the way that Genesis chapter 1 and 2 describe He created things. I believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that He spoke things into being. I believe that He formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. I believe that He put man to sleep and took out of him a rib, and from that rib formed a woman and brought that woman unto man. I believe the biblical account. But in Psalm chapter 8, in verse 3, David says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet." Verse 9, "O Lord our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." What David is saying here is that when he considers the creation, when he considers the universe and the stars, how wonderful man must be that God has his mind full of man. We're going to talk tonight about certain aspects of the universe, but I want you to know God is not concerned about what's going on in some galaxy way beyond ours. God has His eyes upon you. God cares about you. And man is wonderful in the eyes of God. Man doesn't always act wonderful, but man is the object of God's attention, affection, and love. Psalm 19 verse 1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The creation is the expression of God's power. Creation declares God's glory. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah the 40th chapter and the 12th verse, we read about the fact that God has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and He has measured out heaven with the span, and He has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. I don't know if you've ever stood on the shore of the ocean and just looked out at the massiveness of that ocean. The Bible says that God holds the waters in the hollow of His hands. I don't know if you've ever stood at the foot of the Rocky Mountains or some other mountain range and just stood in awe of how massive and powerful they are and how powerful they seem. The Bible says that God has weighed them in the scales. In verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him?" I want you to know God is incomparable. And when we begin to look at the creation, when we begin to look at the universe, we begin to understand just how awesome and powerful and mighty God really is. Let's look just a few moments tonight at what God has created. Stop and think first of all about this planet, the planet on which we live, the planet Earth. This planet at the equator is a little over, well, just under 25,000 miles around. Actually, 24,875 miles around. We are spinning, if you were on the equator, you would be spinning at about 1,000 miles an hour. The Earth revolves in one 24-hour period. And in addition to the Earth spinning on its axis, the Earth is hurtling through space, and every 365 days, it circles the sun. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but that is a huge path. We are about 93 million miles away from the sun, and to circle the sun, we have to be going real fast. I don't know whether you ever thought about how fast we're going or not, but we are moving, planet Earth is moving 18 miles every second in order to complete that circuit around the sun every 365 days. We are traveling at 18 miles a second. In the last 1 minute, we have traveled 1,080 miles. That figures out to about 64,800 miles an hour. Since church was dismissed this afternoon, we have traveled around 500,000 miles. Hold on to the pew in front of you. Friends, we're moving. This earth is not standing still. Stop and think about the sun. The sun I mentioned is around 93 million miles from us. Now, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Stop and think about that. Light travels at about 186,000 miles per second. That means what you are seeing as sunlight actually left the sun. Of course, it's you know, we can't see the sun now because it's night. But in the daytime, that light left the sun about 8 minutes before you actually see it. What you're seeing is really where the sun was 8 minutes ago. All right? Now, you begin to start, and you begin to think about light. And you begin to think about the other stars that are out there. Our sun is nothing more than a star. It's the star that our earth revolves around. The next closest star to planet Earth besides the sun is 4.27 light years away. The next closest star to our planet, the next closest, when you look up at night and see that star, that light from the closest star left that body 4.25 years ago. It's traveled at 186,000 miles per second. And traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it takes that light 4.25 years to get here. Some of the stars, when you go out at night and you look up at some of the stars, some of those stars are far enough away that the light left that star at the end of World War II, and traveling at 186,000 miles every second, 5.88 trillion miles a year, it's taken that long for that light to reach our eyes. And how many times do we walk out at night and we don't even bother looking up at the stars? Friend, that light's been traveling a long time to get here. Could at least show a little bit of appreciation. Now, you know, we think that our planet is pretty big. You know, 24,875 miles around at the equator. You know, that seems pretty big to us. Did you know that if our sun were hollow, that you could put 1,300,000 planet Earths inside of it? Relative to the rest of the universe, our Earth is really just a speck of dust. There are some stars, you may think, wow, the sun is really big. I mean, it's 1,300,000 times bigger than the Earth. Did you know that there are some stars that absolutely dwarf our sun? Our sun is not one of the larger stars, even in our galaxy. They have found one star that is so large that if it were hollow, you could put 30 billion of our suns inside of it. Stop and think about that a minute. Now, we're throwing out millions and billions. Let's talk about what a million is. Let's talk about what a billion is. Stop and think about some of this. 5.88 billion miles a year is how fast light travels. What is a billion? Well, a billion is 1,000 million. Let's stop and talk about a million for a minute. Ladies, if your husband gave you $1 million, in $100, that's the most excited some of you have gotten all day. If your husband's gave you $1 million in $1,000 bills and said, here's the rules, I want you to go shopping every day. How many of you heard that from your husbands? Yeah. Here's $1 million in $1,000 bills. You can spend $1,000 every day. No more, no less. You have to spend $1,000 every day. And then come back and see me when the money is gone. Your wife would come back to you in 3 years, approximately, and be out of money. Now, if you gave your wife $1 billion and said, spend $1,000 every day, no more, no less, come back and see me when it's done, I'll give you some more. She would come back to you in 3,000 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. Now, here's another way to say it. Yeah, I see people, money come. Not if you're spending $1,000 a day. But anyway, here's another way of looking at it. I just want to put some of these figures of millions and billions in easily grasped terms. If you had a stack of $1,000 bills equaling $1 million, $1,000 bills, a total of $1 million worth, you would have a stack of money about 8 inches high. If you had $1 billion in $1,000 bills, you would have a stack of money 150 feet higher than the Washington Monument. That's the difference between a million and a billion. Now, do you know what a billion is now? $1,000 bills totaling a billion dollars, would be 155 feet higher. I know you're very technical. No, Brother Cook, it's 155 feet. 155 feet higher than the Washington Monument, which is itself 555 feet high. A billion is a lot. In our Milky Way galaxy, that is the bunch of stars that we are a part of. Our solar system is a part of the Milky Way galaxy. There are approximately 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Beyond that, there are approximately 100 billion other galaxies. Beyond our galaxy, which contains 100 billion stars, and most of those other galaxies contain somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 billion stars, give or take a few billion. Okay? Now, if you want to know how big the universe is, we have 100 billion stars in our galaxy. There are another 100 billion galaxies out there, approximately, that scientists have been able to see. And they do recognize there are things beyond what we're able to see. If you can imagine, and this is a fact, our galaxy is approximately 100,000 light years across. So traveling at 5.88 trillion miles a year, it would take you 100,000 years just to get across from one side of our galaxy to the other side of our galaxy. Are you tired yet? Now stop and think about it. And really, if you want to get a proportional view, if you can imagine a speck of dust, and about 3,000 miles later, another speck of dust, and another 3,000 miles in another direction, another speck of dust, that's about the proportionate size of the stars. Our galaxy, 100,000 light years across. Now, scale down in your mind, take our galaxy with 100 billion stars and bring our galaxy down to the size of a quarter. Think about our galaxy, 100,000 light years across. Bring it down in your mind to the size of a quarter. Put that quarter on the floor. About 7 to 8 inches away, put down another quarter. That's another galaxy. And in every direction possible, have the whole floor covered with quarters about 7 to 8 inches apart, stretching out 2 miles in either direction. And that is the size of the known universe, at least that is the size of the universe as far as what scientists can see. And remember that our quarter that we're a part of, that to get from one side of the quarter to the other side of the quarter, light traveling at 186,000 miles every second, it takes, 100,000 years to get across? And that's just one of the quarters. That's just one of the galaxies. Now, let me ask you this. How big did you say your problem was? The universe that the scientists know about is about 12 to 14 billion light years across. That's how much they can see. They acknowledge there's more beyond it. And I'll tell you another thing that the scientists will tell you is they will say that as you get out toward the edges of the universe, that it appears that everything is flying apart. As if everything were coming from one common point of origin, just expanding out. Isn't that interesting? Why would everything be expanding out from one common point of origin? Because there was a time when God said, "Let there be light." And He hasn't said, "Let it stop yet." So those are some bits of information. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 18. When Solomon had built the temple, he said this, "But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built." We have an awesome God. You stop and think about this universe and its size and the galaxies and the hundreds of billions of stars and each of the hundreds of billions of galaxies and the 12 to 14 billion light years that this galaxy or that this universe covers, at least as far as man can see, and knowing that it's still continuing to expand at close to the speed of light, and yet all of that is just like something in God's pocket. We have an awesome God. We can look through the microscope. I'm sorry, we can look through the telescope. And we can see the footprints of God. We can look through the telescope and we can see the fingerprints of God. But we can not only see the workings of God through the telescope, but we can see the working of God through the microscope. David said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you are a walking miracle. I mean, the incredible things that God has built into the human body. David had such an appreciation, and he didn't even have access to the scientific facts that we have today. David just knew by revelation that his whole being, that his whole physical being, he had been fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me give you some facts about the human body that again, I believe, speak of the majesty of God. Take your heart, for instance. Your heart, which is about the size of a human fist, on the average, a heart beats around 75 beats a minute. Every time your heart pumps, it pumps about 2.5 ounces of blood. That figures out to 1.5 gallons a minute. And over the course of an entire day, your heart pumps the equivalent of 37 55-gallon drums of blood. That's about 2,035 gallons worth of blood. Friend, I'm telling you, this heart didn't just evolve out of some primordial ooze. Friend, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made by a Creator God. In your body, in your blood system, there are white cells totaling about 50 billion. 50 billion white cells that are programmed by the Creator to prowl through your system and attack any kind of invader, any kind of bacteria that shouldn't be there. Those 50 billion white cells are there, and they know which ones to attack. In addition to the 50 billion that are prowling throughout your system, there are 100 times more than that waiting on reserve in your bone marrow, waiting to be called into active duty. Your bone marrow also produces about a trillion new red blood cells every day. In your eye, there are about 107 million cells. 107 separate million cells. About 7 million of those are what are called cones. And they enable your eye to distinguish between 1,000 different shades of color. And there's about 100 million cells that are called rods, and they are for backup use in low light. Friend, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your ear can detect sound frequencies that flutter your eardrums as faintly as 1/1,000,000,000 of a centimeter. That's 1/10 of the diameter of a hydrogen atom. That is how sensitive your eardrum is. In your ear, when middle C is hit on the piano, the piston of bones in your inner ear vibrate 256 times a second. There's very fine hairs in your inner ear that are monitoring a swishing fluid to alert you if you ever begin to lose your balance. Friend, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. How many of you remember in freshman biology in high school studying about DNA? And they showed you that little twisty type spiral thing. DNA. Your body contains about 100 trillion cells. Now remember what a billion is. A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. You've got about 100 trillion cells in your body. That's 100,000,000,000,000 cells in your body. And each cell is programmed with a genetic code called DNA, which contains all of the information that runs your body. If the information contained in each DNA... Now remember, you've got 100 trillion of these in the cells of your body. If the information, the genetic code, the information that is programmed into those, the DNA in each cell of your body, each of the 100 trillion cells, if each DNA could be transcribed into written code, each cell would contain enough information to fill 1,000 books, 600 pages each. That's how much genetic code information is in each DNA in each cell of your body. Every DNA in your body contains the instructions found in every other DNA cell in your body, although each DNA cell does specialize in some particular function. But it has all of the information on it from all of the other DNA as well. You are understanding this, aren't you? Now, if it were possible to take the DNA from each cell, unwind it, because you remember it's in kind of a twist type form, unwind the DNA and tie it together end to end, Each individual one would be 5 feet long. And only 50 trillionths of an inch across. If all of the DNA from all of the cells in the body were stretched out and tied end to end, they would be 95 billion miles long. You could wrap it around the earth around 4 million times. I don't know about you, but when I begin to think about God, when I begin to think about the God of the universe, and the God who is so powerful that He can say, "Let there be," and there was, and this universe can fill with hundreds of billions of galaxies, each having hundreds of billions of stars, with this universe expanding at the speed of light, and be billions of miles of light years across, I think how powerful God must be. And to even wonder if God has enough power to meet some need in our life. And then to know that God is so incredibly wise that He can design a human body, He can design eyes and ears, and He can design a heart that will pump the way it pumps, and He can put the genetic programming in our body that would fill thousands upon thousands of books. I'll tell you, it just makes me think of the song, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." I want you to know tonight, there is nothing that is too big for our God. You don't have any problem that's too big for our God, and you don't have any problem that is too complicated for our God. We have an awesome God, and I thank God that He left His footprints throughout the universe, and that He left His fingerprints throughout the universe. We know He's been here. He's not visible to us now, but He's left us with great evidence to know that He's been here and to know that He is an awesome, awesome, awesome God.
We pray you'll be greatly blessed as you apply the truths that you've just heard. If you are interested in additional resources or in learning more about Tony Cook Ministries, please contact us at www.tonycook.org or at the address listed on this page.